I was thinking that thieves are actually quite highly valorized in narrative, you know? I mean, Aladdin, famously. It's well within the collective consciousness that stealing for need.
If you go back and you look at people that they're bringing up, they're stealing from people who are just absolutely bad guys. The people they're stealing for are not people who have high student loan debt and can't afford a house until they're 32. Usually it's people who are like starving to death or are like living lives in squalor.
The Democratic Party chose not to lean into that real mobilization. 3,500 college campus protesters were arrested in the process. And now we write think pieces about why there aren't any college campus protesters. Where are the anti-war protesters over and over again? Well, it's like the government succeeded.
What? The Democrats lost the election and you guys were only protesting them. Why not protest the main government to get them to listen to your demands? Are you saying they arrested all the protesters? You're protesting to stop a genocide and you stop protesting when you get arrested?
I don't know why I thought that Democrats would immediately take this up as pushing a sort of unified message towards universal health care.
This person might be worse than Hassan, intellectually and morally. Well, She was expecting Democrats to seize upon the assassination of a random healthcare exec to push healthcare change? Are you fucking crazy? Talk about justifying the murder of a person in cold blood. What are you talking about? What a crazy fucking statement. I can't believe the Democrats were like, guys, look, he killed the healthcare exec. We need to do something about healthcare right now. Let's go. Holy shit. Hassan appears to have taken part in the whitest article ever written by the New York Times, referring to shoplifting as micro-looting. What? The rich don't play by the rules, so why should I? Why petty theft might be the new political protest.
Lemons. And on several occasions, I was like, I'm just going to go back, grab those four lemons and get the hell out. And
you should go to prison.
I know. You think they're going to ban me?
They should throw you in jail.
But I didn't feel bad about it at all.
I'm proposing a new term, micro-looting.
I started going into the grocery store. I would pick up the thing that I wanted, and then I would go.
It's a survival tech.
It's like, I can't with young people today. I can't with young people today. It's one thing if you, like, can't afford food or something, but when it's all these, like, decently wealthy yuppies that are, like, it's, like, their form of protest, like, I'm gonna shoplift? Why? What are you doing? Like, it's so cringe and performative and hollow. Like, when a philosophy tube, when she was talking about how, like, I'm not gonna pay rent to my landlord because I'm gonna protest rent increase or whatever. It's like, motherfucker, you probably make 10x whatever your fucking landlord makes. Like, what the fuck are you protesting? Testing.
Gotta eat to live, gotta steal to eat.
You're paying.
I'm proposing a new term, micro looting.
I started going into the grocery store, I would pick up the thing that I wanted, and then I would go.
Survival technique, gotta eat to live, gotta steal to eat.
You're paying for that, right?
No, babe, food is a human right.
People are taking small things from big corporations, and they're feeling justified.
Like, look, everyone's shoplifting from Whole Foods when you're shopping there.
Are you not gonna steal?
Okay, I can't abide that. I shoplift from Whole Foods? I only shoplift from the finest upper middle class to upper class cuisines.
From a deli like that. But Whole Foods, fuck Whole Foods. Fuck Bezos, fuck Amazon.
Then don't go. I don't know. Okay.
We should be rioting, but we're tired, so I'm gonna take these bagels.
But is it a slippery slope?
No, you've already sloped down the slope. You've already fallen down the slope. You've slid down the slope. What do you mean?
What's going on with our moral code? To find out, I'm talking to political commentator.
Thank God we brought the expert shoplifter, the expert on the wealth redistribution that black people do to their neighborhoods when they steal a bunch of shoes. Somebody play the clip. Give me the clip. Oh, my God.
Hassan Piker, a New Yorker writer, Gia Tolentino. Thank you both so much for being here with me today to talk about this. Hi, Gia.
Hi.
Hi, Hassan.
Hi.
I want to start with a little exercise just about our own morals. Would you share your Netflix password?
I do.
I also do. Well,
with anyone.
For the longest time, I actually had someone else's Netflix password. That was my primary access to Netflix.
And now you share your own?
Yeah.
Would you get around a paywall on an article you're trying to read?
This is like the most bougie fucking... Also, I wonder if he actually tries to time, like, I'll wake up 20 minutes before this interview so my voice can be as low as possible.
Do it every day on my stream. Every
yeah,
day.
I support it when people do it for my own work. I say, go off. Use the Wayback Machine.
Would you pirate music from an indie band?
Is it 2005 and I'm using LimeWire? Because yes.
I feel like every millennial has at some point done this.
I feel like fundamentally Spotify is kind of like deleterious to the musician livelihood, and I use that. But then I go to the shows.
I'm pro piracy all the way. Like across the board, would you pirate a car? Yes. You know, if you could, if one could
pirate a car. If
you... Like, this is like just such a brain dead. God, the political engagement is just so non-existent. Like, yeah, every single thing should be free. Everything should be free. And the only things that aren't free in society are things that people are stealing from the fucking human worker. And I don't even.
Just the classic thing back in the day where they'd be like, the government funded anti-piracy initiatives would be like, would you steal a car?
I'm oh,
like,
I
yeah,
see.
Sure. If I could get away with it, if it was as easy as, you know, pirating IP, I would do it.
Yeah. Would you dine and dash from your local diner?
Never. Never. Tip 35%. Mike's, come on.
No, I wouldn't do that. And if I saw somebody doing that, I'd probably pay for their meal.
Yeah.
Wait, why would you steal from a grocery store but not dine and dash?
Would you steal a book from the library?
Never.
Oh, definitely not that.
No.
Definitely.
Would you?
This is like the fucking virtue signal hour. What's next? Would you steal a shirt from a cooperatively ran organization? Would you steal a bowl of soup from a man who conjured it out of the fucking spirit of Marx? And I, like,
steal from the Louvre.
Yes.
I don't even know what the fucking Louvre is. Should I know this? I lived in California for 3 years. The Louvre. Oh my God. Oh, museum? Fucking, who the fucking museums? Cringe.
Would not be logistically capable of executing 5%.
I'd probably pay for their meal.
Yeah. Would you steal a book from the library?
Never.
The yes for the museum thing. All of this, you can just draw this on like the most slop lines. If they say yes, it's going to be because they have everything because of imperialism, imperialism, imperialism. So you should actually steal from every Western museum ever because imperialism, imperialism, imperialism.
No.
Would you steal from the Louvre?
Yes.
I would not be logistically capable of executing such a fact, but would I cheer on every news story of people that I see doing it? Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think it's cool. We gotta get back to cool crimes like that. Like, you know, bank robberies, right? Stealing.
And his Ralph Lauren shirt. Oh my God, bro. Kill me. All the people's money is insured anyway, bro. Like, it's
stealing priceless artifacts, things of that nature. I feel like that's way cooler than the 7,000th new cryptocurrency scheme that people are engaging in.
Mm-hmm. Would you steal from Whole Foods?
You want to go first?
It has to be yes, right? These are chains. These are major chains, no?
Yes. And I have under very specific circumstances. I think that stealing from a big box store, I'll just state my
platform.
It's
always good.
It's neither very significant as a moral wrong, nor is it significant in any way as protest or direct action. But I did steal from Whole Foods on several occasions. Like, I've been involved in like a neighborhood mutual aid group since 2021. And so every week I would go get groceries for Miss Nancy, my now family friend who lived nearby.
I'm so sorry. I might be retarded. Whole Foods is considered like a bougie, expensive grocery store, right? If you're trying to do mutual aid, why not just fucking go to fucking Walmart or Albertsons or Kroger's or Walgreens or CVS or any, like, why not just go there? Who's going to fucking Whole Foods to buy for their mutual aid program?
She wanted to go to Whole Foods. She wanted food from Whole Foods. So I was like, okay, great. And so I'd be getting...
Wait, hold on.
My now family friend who lived nearby, and she wanted to go to Whole Foods. She wanted food from Whole Foods. So I was like, okay, great. And so I'd be getting Miss Nancy all her groceries, and then I would finish and I'd be like, oh my God, four lemons. I forgot four lemons. And on several occasions, I was like, I'm just going to go back, grab those four lemons and get the hell out. And
you should go to prison.
I know. You think they're going to ban me?
They should throw you in jail.
But I didn't feel bad about it at all.
And was part of it because of how you feel about Whole Foods as a corporation?
Yeah, it already felt like a bit of a compromise. Like at the time, I was like, I had not been to Whole Foods. I had a bit more sort of consumer discipline about where I was spending my money then.
Consumer discipline. Does that mean you're only buying from like ethically sourced places, or does she mean poor there? Was that the rich way of saying you were poor, or
And I already felt like I was in the hole even by shopping there. And it certainly felt in a utilitarian sense. I was like, this is not a big deal.
In a utilitarian sense? What the fuck does that even fucking mean? Like, if a woman has been like abused like 50 times, can you slap her since the marginal slap isn't going to be that much given all the other slaps she's like, what? This is the most retarded talking point I've ever heard in my entire fucking life.
Well,
guys,
I'm pro stealing from big corporations because, you know, they steal quite a bit more from workers.
Oh, my God. Oh, can we get that talking point about how wage theft is actually the biggest theft in the United States?
However, one thing that might even help your ethical dilemma is the fact that the automated process that they design, these companies know will increase shrink, right? So it's actually factored in. The lemons that you...
Why do they say shit like this? Like, it's just so obviously not true. Like, is some amount of loss factored into everything these stores do? Yes. But if everybody starts stealing, then obviously that number is going to go up and that's not going to be factored in. Places are just going to close. Like, it's so crazy that these cringe fucks, because they never shop at these like fucking poor places, right? These guys are in all the nice neighborhoods. They never have to deal with the ramifications of any of the crazy shit they say. Like, this is why when you go to certain stores, like everything is behind a fucking lock now and it's just going to lead to more of this shit. Ugh.
Stole are factored into the bottom line. Of right. These mega corporations, regardless, and they still...
This is idiocracy. Dude, I can't. This is on the New York Times. This is like an idiocracy to your take. We're literally listening to...
Is this my stereo? Oh,
hey. Like, it's this level of financial, economic, political analysis.
Hey, what happened to my stereo? It's all smashed up.
That's right. Now, it looks like it was broken during shipping, and I insured it for $400.
But you were supposed to get me a refund.
You can't get a refund. Your warranty expired 2 years ago.
So we're going to make the post office pay for my new stereo now?
It's a write-off for them.
How is it a write-off?
They just write it off.
Write it off what?
Jerry, all these big companies, they write off everything.
You don't even know what a write-off is.
Do you?
No, I don't.
But they do. And they're the ones writing it off.
Wish I had the last 20 seconds of my life back.
What?
Having increased profit margins because they no longer have to pay the cashiers that they used to hire, as opposed to this automated system, knowing full well that people are still going to be able to steal.
Like, what about how unfair it was for cashiers that they could simply scan a thing over a scanner to know the exact price of a thing? What about all the people that used to have to look up prices? Wasn't that unfair? Shouldn't we say fuck cashiers for having access to automated scanners that they can swipe a thing over that will automatically tell them the price instead of to make a callback every single time to see how much a thing costs? Or how unfair is it for these lazy stalkers at night that have like forklifts and stuff? How many men could have been carrying these huge boxes, but now we have one machine to do it all? Like, you can run this argument back infinitely until we're all... I guess like manually harvesting crops that we've all planted and taken care of every day, like, ugh.
A lot more efficiently, as a matter of fact, through the automated process.
Totally. Well, I was looking things up, and shrinkage is roughly equal internally as externally. Like, they expect it from their employees that they are sort of disenfranchising constantly.
What does that mean? Shrinkage is the same? Like, they expect employees to steal the same amount as customers steal?
Yeah.
But what about the argument that if everyone just starts stealing wantonly from these self-checkout machines, Whole Foods will eventually raise the prices?
Which is what will happen, or they'll close it down. Yeah.
Yeah. Chaos, full chaos. Let's go. I mean, look, I'm in favor of fast and free buses and also government owned storefronts. And, you know, two of those policies, the mayor of this beautiful city is currently working on.
What she should ask is, would you ever move to New York City where your taxes will be, you know, however much higher?
Encourage stealing in the same way from...
From a Mondani store? No, not from the government-owned store. Oh. I'm sorry. Maybe he'll surprise me and say, yes, you should steal from everything.
Mondani-run city-owned grocery store with lower prices? Why?
I would not. Because I feel like that's taxpayer-funded. And the prices are this union labor, and the prices are also adjusted regardless.
The prices are adjusted at the Mamdani stores, which I don't think are open yet, right? Is it going to be cheaper if you're poor? What does that mean?
I think that that hypothetical is interesting, right? Because if you look at it from a categorical imperative type thing.
Oh, my face when I've never, ever, ever read any con in my life. And I'm throwing this term around. I've never read any con, by the way. Oh, my God. Kill me. What is the faux philosophy from a utilitarian perspective, from a categorical imperative perspective? Actually, it's...
But if everybody did this, you know, the converse is like, oh, what if every major grocery chain stole from workers and consumers? And that is basically true, right? Like, it's interesting. Like, I think it speaks to the thing where a kind of harm committed by the individual strangely continually draws more ire than the same harm being committed by a structure. And so, I mean, and so I kind of am inclined towards this. It's like, everyone try it, see what happens. Yeah.
Well, by the way, ironically enough, I don't personally do it. I never do it. When I was younger, I stole some Pokemon cards from a friend and my father punished me. And it was such a harrowing experience that I literally can't even steal like a candy bar. When we were in college, a lot of my friends used to love doing that, you know, getting drunk, going to the gas station, five-finger discount. I would never participate in it. And I still love doing that, you know, getting drunk, going to the gas station, right. College, a lot of my friends used to love doing that, you know, getting drunk, going to the gas station, five-finger discount. I would never
I don't believe that he had friends stealing from gas stations. No fucking shot did this ever fucking happen.
Participate in it, and I still can't to this day participate in it. I'm just saying that I personally don't really care. If someone needs the food, they should absolutely steal it.
I love how we've just given a completely and totally different moral weight to the statement by saying that. That's completely and totally acceptable. Like nobody would disagree with that. Like, if you're starving to death, if you're starving, you can't feed your family, should you steal something from a store? I mean, you can argue both sides of it, but that's way more acceptable than you should steal from every single place that's a large corporation ever.
There's one thing that's like stealing when you're a teenager and you want the adrenaline rush, and part of it is about testing the rules and getting away with something. But I feel like what I'm seeing on TikTok and social media is people saying that they're stealing from Whole Foods, not just for the thrill of it, but out of a feeling of anger and moral justification because the rich don't play by the rules. So why should I? And Jeff Bezos has too much money. He's a billionaire. So why should I have to pay for organic avocados? My friends and I.
What's even the argument for how grocery stores are stealing from people? It's all tortured. Like she's saying, because Bezos might own some chain of grocery stores, or because the CEO makes too much money, or it's going to be some retarded fucking, somebody's making too much money. It's all price gouging and the pricing is unfair, or they're stealing from their employees by stealing from their paychecks. So we should be able to steal from everything. It's just fucking retarded.
I have started calling this micro looting because it has a like slight political valence, the theft, as opposed to just the thrill of getting away with something. Have you noticed this around you online? Have you noticed more people talking about stealing in this way?
I mean, I have not seen people talking about micro looting or such, you know, whatever action that this is online. But I think, I mean, it kind of speaks to an attenuation of the tactical language of direct action. You know what I mean? Like, it's like if it's like, it doesn't work for me as a form of direct action because it's concealed, right? Like any successful direct action in history has to be ostentatious, has to make itself known, is ideally collective. And this is sort of necessarily individual and hidden. But I'm like, oh, great. Let's think of ways to... like, let's take this energy and let's move it into some other thing. Like, I think it's great that the valence of property is kind of on the table as something to be toyed with in terms of direct action. I feel like we've forgotten there is a long and storied history of sabotage and sort of engagement with property destruction, even, which is abhorrent to people. I mean, you remember in 2020, the like Gucci Chanel stuff in Soho when that was looted.
Well, NYPD is investigating a robbery pattern targeting high-end clothing boutiques in Soho. Latest happening Tuesday at the Chanel on Spring Street.
That looms so much larger in many sort of Bloomberg liberals' imaginations as profoundly more violent in some ways than the original action being protested, right? And I find that really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking.
Keep in mind that this approach to crime that San Francisco took was a complete and utter failure. The idea that you just shouldn't prosecute shoplifting anymore and nobody would care. Like, stores were shutting down, shoplifting was getting massive. The DA basically got kicked the fuck out, and they did bring somebody in, and they go, okay, this is obviously not good policy. Like, this is a fucking monumental fucking failure. And all the losers online, all the janks, I think Sam Cedar and the Majority Report all tried to downplay this and say that shoplifting wasn't a real problem and it was bullshit. It was a massive fucking problem. And everybody in San Francisco fucking hated this.
Thinking about the Boston Tea Party as part of, like, that's a political destruction of property.
Oh my fucking God, kill me. Oh my fucking God, kill me. Oh my fucking God, kill me.
And yet, right now, it feels like, I agree with you, the looting around the 2020 protests was such a huge talking point. It made people so uncomfortable. And I'm curious why, like, what do you think the root of that is?
I was thinking, you know, that thieves are actually quite highly valorized in narrative, you know? I mean, Aladdin, famously.
Robin Hood,
Jean Valjean.
Stole a loaf of bread.
We understand it's well within the collective consciousness that stealing for need or...
This is one of the things that, it's funny, atheists used to say this all the time, that good people will, this is a stupid quote, but for our tippers, good people will do good things, bad people will do bad things, but for bad people to do good things, or for good people to do bad things, that requires religion. Like, somehow religion could fuck your mind and make you feel like, you know, now a bad thing you're doing is somehow justified. The underlying wisdom to that is that with proper justification, like moral righteousness, a person can be driven to do almost anything. As long as they feel like they're morally righteous in whatever they're doing, then they can be driven to do a ton of crazy shit. This is why, one of the reasons why I talk about, like, the whole anti-billionaire and taxes are punishment for the wealthy. Like, this mindset is bad, is because it leads directly into shit like this. That, like, if you really truly think that every wealthy person is just fucking evil, then sure, why not, like, steal from their shit or fuck their stores up or whatever else? And it's, like, so fucking cringe and hollow and empty. Like, if you go back and you look at these the people that they're bringing up, like Aladdin and Robin Hood, and I think Zorro did this too, like, they're stealing from people who are just absolutely bad guys. And more often than not, they're stealing, like, bare necessities for survival. Like, the people they're stealing for are not people who have high student loan debt and can't afford a house until they're 32. Usually it's people who are, like, starving to death or are, like, living lives in squalor. Oh yeah, there was this Vosh. When Vosh learned what happens when people shoplift all the time.
I went grocery shopping the other day because I kind of wanted to get some sun, you know? And I really hate grocery shopping, man. When I was a kid, I would go grocery shopping with my mom, like when I was 10 or whatever. And, like, it's kind of cool because there's all that stuff there, you know? And keep in mind, I grew up in Beverly Hills. Beverly Hills is a very, very safe neighborhood. Like, seriously, you can, like, 3 a.m. walking around, whatever. That's fine. But, like, I don't know how much of it is because I'm outside of the hills and how much of it is just times a changing. But I think a lot of it is times a changing, because it didn't used to be like this, even when I was outside of Beverly Hills. But, like, now, okay, one of the grocery stores that I would go to, there's a Target in Seattle, okay? And, like, it's near the touristy areas, and they have security guards there. And these security guards aren't store security, they're contracted security. These guys have flak vests and guns. In a grocery store, there are multiple of them. They have put so much of the stuff in the store behind glass, like glass shelves, like you need to call someone over to open them, which is insane. Like, sometimes homeless people walk in or whatever, but, like, however much money Target is saving on stolen goods, I swear, like, there's no way. Those guards are costing them, like, six figures a person per year. Like, insane, you know? Absolutely insane. Yeah, the toothpaste, you have to call them over to open up the toothpaste, like, behind the glass doors, you know? Toothpaste. $3 thing of toothpaste. So I went to a different grocery store the other day. Because it's, like, bad vibes. I went grocery shopping the other day.
Bad vibes, bro. Bad vibes.
Purpose. You know, it's something that we understand and feel quite friendly towards. And I think if someone were, let's say, walking out of Whole Foods with an IKEA bag of whatever and giving it to the people, you know, sheltering underneath the scaffolding at the jail going up in Brooklyn next door, you know, like, I think most people would agree that that, you know, like if someone were to be stealing with a purpose, we love that in America. We do. We can love it again.
Not really. No, it's kind of like a tragic thing that you are weighing something against something else. And you're accepting like some lesser of two evils because of the dire necessity from a person living in conditions that we would consider unacceptable, such that they have to commit of what we would call a moral wrong in order to survive, right? Like, the idea that you're celebrating the stealing is just, that's just crazy. This is like such a Disney like movie take on, not even that. It's so fucking cringe. And it's such a hollow analysis. I sort out. I canceled my New York Times subscription. I'm sorry. This is crazy. But maybe I shouldn't have yet, because maybe in the last 20 minutes, maybe there'll be some really good opposite opinion for this, or some pushback and then some synthesis of the two opinions. Who knows?
Not in America. We do. We can love it again. Mm-hmm. We just have to do it with a purpose.
I was reading a Pew Research poll about Americans' morality, and it basically was just like, well, we didn't even ask about the obviously immoral things like theft. We only asked about like having an affair. And I was like, but I feel like part of what I'm seeing around me is that people feel like the laws are immoral. The rich don't play by the rules. We live in a society where there are billionaires, where the top 1% holds 32% of the net worth and the bottom 50% holds 2.5%.
Like, bruh, Hassan, you are that 0.001%. Like, does he not realize this? Like, how is he sitting here having this conversation? Jesus Christ. You are the rich, bro. Your family is the rich, bro.
So at some point, if the laws don't feel moral, do you start to question?
Like, what law do you want to change that's so unfair here that we're justifying just fucking stealing from and taking from everything we don't like? In the United States, imagine in the US of A too, there are people living in the craziest fucking countries who don't steal. And then they see like these US guys who are like, oh, I have $50,000 of student loan debt. I gotta steal the fucking apple, bro. I gotta steal the apple from Whole Foods.
Your own sense of having to abide by them.
Of course.
Yeah. I wanted to work off of a point that you were making. This was also something that was addressed in a previous New York Times podcast that I did with Ross Douthat, where I brought up the concept of adventurism. In the Marxist tradition, adventurism is the action that is oftentimes decentralized. Oftentimes anarchists will say this is the propaganda of the deed. The action itself, no matter how violent or how disruptive it is justifiable because the disruption is the point. I believe in the power of organized labor and labor militancy and building these structures of power so that we can actually make more effective change, more longstanding change. So concepts such as micro-looting indicate that there is an energy there, just like you said. And yet many Americans, I think, are totally oblivious to this political language. They lack the political education. They lack the class consciousness to recognize their position in society, and lack the capacity, unfortunately, to.
And then it's just also similar to the Trump stuff. I just don't know how people can listen to the same slop talking points over and over and over again. Like, you flip from one slopulous to the next slopulous, just saying the same slopulous talking points over and over again. How is it not so fucking boring? Oh my God.
Engage in some kind of organized disruption that would be infinitely more effective.
I think what you were saying about people lack the language and the organizing structure to engage in, like, the, you know, the obvious thing to do if you want to chip into the Whole Foods / Amazon mega structure of exploitation is to unionize, like to work at a Whole Foods and form a union. And I think the first one was formed recently in Philly, I think. But, you know, it's like micro-looting. It feels akin to like a posting about something. Like, it's a kind of, as an atomized individual action, it's useless. It's much harder to get a job and accept $17.50 an hour and then to organize your colleagues, a process that takes years and is often unsuccessful. I mean, that's really, you know, the thing about actual collective direct action, it's so much harder. It often doesn't profit you whatsoever, such as, you know, me getting an extra $10 by grabbing my extra loaf of bread from Miss Nancy. Like, it's like, I do think we are also lazy as humans. We're also selfish. We also, Like, we've lost not only the language and the union density and the structure to engage in things like this, but we have also lost the sort of muscle that is built up to be able to engage in these sort of things. We've lost the rooms in which these things are planned, you know?
Mm. Yeah. And the confidence. I think we've lost the confidence within ourselves because there is not a lot of action like this. And in the absence of that, we lack the willpower. Because we don't even know what that would look like.
And the climate protests in Europe tend to be more militant, right, than the ones that are here. And they are, you know, blocking roadways, like these things that are even objectively completely nonviolent forms of obstruction and interference that don't even involve property destruction, but merely the interruption of the capital flow of the workday, like are criminalized to shocking degrees to me, even.
The capital flow of the workday.
In Europe, you know, and I guess I'm saying maybe we're getting the lack of courage is maybe a rational response to the kind of the way.
Can you believe that stealing is illegal? Oh, my God. That's just crazy.
These actions are treated in the popular consciousness as well as by the criminal justice system, but they shouldn't be.
I want to get back a little bit to the anger underneath this. Like in 1965, CEOs were paid 21 times.
Now it's 181 times.
The average worker. In 2024, CEOs are paid 281 times the average worker. I feel like some of this is coming from a feeling of...
Like, what does that even have to do with stealing from stores? If the CEO pay got reduced, would people feel like the system is way better?
Like the rules are... The social contract is broken. And then there's also the slippery slope of what happens if we completely break the social contract and no one plays by the rules anymore. And I wonder where you two see the interplay of those two ideas.
Well, the rules are already designed in a way where if you steal from the poor, you become rich. If you steal from the wealthy, you go to prison. So there's only one.
That was so deep, dude. Oh my God, that was so fucking deep.
Direction where you can do unlimited theft and erode the social contract for the 99%. There's
unlimited
an invisibility baked into the system that allows the wealthy to engage in this sort of behavior. Because, I mean, it's a cliche at this point, but like wage theft is the
There's
most
the wage theft
consequential
talking point. There it is.
Amount
you.
Of yes. theft that takes place in the United States of America. A similar invisibility exists in structural violence as opposed to individual acts of violence as well. If it's a police officer engaging someone violently, the automatic assumption from the average person is, oh, that's probably a criminal. They probably deserved it. But if there's any circumstance where someone else is fighting back against police.
What even is wage theft taxes? No, I mean, there's I think there have been studies on the past, but it's basically like when companies will shortchange you on overtime or other bullshit that corporations do or any job will do when they're trying to fuck you out of things in your paycheck. It is a real thing. It's not good.
Like in a normal protest environment, for example, ultimately, most people assume that that is chaotic. It's a chaotic situation and that it is born out of the escalations from the protesters themselves, even if as regular citizens, we're infinitely closer to those exercising their First Amendment rights than those with the power stamping out people exercising their free speech rights. We never look at systemic forms of violence, and we don't look at systemic forms of theft in the same way that we do as individuals breaking that social contract.
I think there is, you know, in my ideal world, what we are talking about, the one kind of theft being inescapable and hegemonic and, you know, completely oppressive, and then people trying to get a little bit of it back through stealing from Whole Foods or whatever, right?
From Whole Foods, bro.
In the ideal world, it is not one in which this continues and this increases to somehow even it out, right? The ideal world is one in which the theft from above is broken by regulatory means and or bottom-up means like unionization, right?
You were just talking about wanting, not being like we should encourage wanton theft across the board, but we should try and fight against the theft that comes from the top. It feels difficult right now in a moment when to like hope for regulatory change.
Yes, it does.
would come from the government.
Please shit on Democrats next. That'll just make the perfect triumph. just stupid fucking takes, please.
Let's say, and
all I need to...
a lot of the billionaires like Bezos and Cook and Elon Musk are given a seat at the table in terms of the government itself, when billionaires themselves pay much lower tax rates than most Americans. My producer was just giving me this fact that she saw today.
Did you know that billionaires pay 1.38% because of this ProPublica article I saw?
88 corporations that made $105 billion in profits in 2025, including Tesla, Southwest, United, Live Nation, Disney. They made $105 billion in profits, and they collectively paid income taxes of $0.
Right. I mean,
but like, it's always like, if you want to talk about our tax code, I think that's fine. But like, why? Why do they pay no taxes, right? Because we allow people to write stuff off. We allow people to reinvest without that being taxed. We don't tax revenues. We tax we tax profits that aren't. When she said profit here, wait, she did say profit though, not just revenue. I wonder if these were like carry forward losses or something as well. Like there are reasons why sometimes you don't have a tax liability as a corporation, and it's very rarely. It's never the case that they because they're big and evil, they don't have to pay taxes. Again, if you want to talk about changing the system or getting rid of some particular write-off or whatever, that's fine. But they present these things in such a comically evil way. It's just so fucking stupid.
$0. Right. I mean, it's a far more consequential withdrawal of resources and trust from the public sphere to do that, to talk about any individual thing that any person has ever done. Mm-hmm. Right. Like it's like, and I think, I mean, the 1%, the top 1% of Americans, 20% of their income is withheld from reporting every year, like as just a standing statistic. And that's not even...
What is that in reference to?
A corporate structure. That's not even... I mean, that's just ordinary rich people, you know?
Okay, to go back. You were talking about sort of what you do see as effective political protest. And recently, a employee upset fired Kimberly Clark Warehouse as a protest.
Yeah.
Is that an effective form of political protest or is that purely violent?
No, I found it. No, that you got to.
Or is that an effective that fired Kimberly Clark Warehouse as a protest?
Yeah.
Is that an effective form of political protest or is that purely violent?
No, I found it. No, that you got to be tactical. I mean, I feel like Mike Davis wrote about this. It's like, it's not the action, it's the context in which it exists. And do I think that some sort of fire could hypothetically be framed within a collective action that is tactically useful? Yes. Does a disgruntled guy burning down the warehouse do it for me in terms of effective political action? Not at all. But I do, but...
Sabotage has played a formative role in labor union.
Everything.
Yeah, labor unions as well. But if it's conducted unilaterally, then it's entirely different.
And that's an individual action. And if he could have gotten away with it without being caught, I bet he... I mean, I didn't follow this case very closely, but it seemed like... Yeah, like anything done by an individual on an emotional, you know, on a kind of primarily emotional whim, that's not the point. That's not the point.
But then when
I don't even know what the fuck the point was there. Should he have not gotten caught, or was it because he was emotional, or what? Like the moral philosophy here is just so painfully contrived to fit the whatever the fuck weird shit they're talking about that it's like obviously. Oh my god, I don't know.
You feel this much anger, and
it's unproductive. Yeah,
doesn't feel like there's hope for it to be changed in a regulatory way. I think that's when you get to things like Luigi Mangione killing the CEO of United Healthcare and there being an outpouring.
Another rich guy, by the way, who just killed him because he's a fucking schizo crazy person, but okay.
Of glee for murder online because it feels like finally someone can actually do something about healthcare. I think 40% of Gen Zers felt that that murder was morally justified. But it's scary to be in a society where people feel that murder is morally justified. And I'm curious how we thread that line.
Yeah. Engels wrote about the concept of social murder. And Brian Thompson, as the United Healthcare CEO, was engaging in a tremendous amount of social murder, the systematized forms of violence, the structural violence of poverty.
Healthcare, when CEO of healthcare is the structural form. I'm so, never mind. I'm glad I canceled my New York Times subscription. This is just wild, bro. like bordering on like irresponsible, but whatever. Whatever, bro. My media.
Pretty. The for-profit paywalled system of healthcare in this country, and the consequences of that are tremendous amounts of pain, tremendous amounts of violence, tremendous amounts of deaths. And that was a fascinating story for me, because Americans are very draconian about crime and punishment. They're very black and white on
them. We're draconian, by the way. In early societies, they would just cut your hand off if you were caught stealing something or whatever. Well, that was an upgrade. Before, they would just like fucking kill you. But
this issue. And yet, because of the pervasive pain that the private healthcare system had created for the average American, I saw so many people immediately understand why this death had taken place. Even before they knew who the shooter was or what the motive was, we had universalized this pain so much so that virtually every American has a similar experience, a shared experience, where they have a loved one that spent their last days, instead of spending them with their family, spending it on the phone, talking to their healthcare provider to maybe get a little bit of economic respite so they don't carry on medical debt for their next generation, for their next of kin. That's a harrowing.
You can't pass on medical debt, by the way, but okay.
Process for a lot of people. And for them, that is murder. For them, that is torture. And that is the reason why I think the reaction to Luigi Mangione, especially by younger generations, was not so negative.
I think also it's worth saying, you know, it's not so much, there are not that many healthcare CEOs, there are not that many industries that are as universally understood as merchants of social murder, as of structural violence upon people. And it was as if the language appeared lit up within people that had never articulated.
Like, it's so crazy that like the healthcare that exists in the United States and in the world today is more advanced than it ever has been in the history of all of mankind. And like, these fucking losers are so entitled that it's like, because everybody's not getting the maximum level, we can go and murder the people that work in these companies. And that somehow is like justified because we're not getting every single thing. What kind of debt you can't pass on debt to your children. It doesn't work that way. I mean, theoretically, you could argue that your estate could have a debt obligation that drains money from the estate, but you can't, unless your child signed for it or co-signed the debt or something.
It out loud. Like, there are so few industries, maybe that is singularly the one that touches everyone, that harms nearly everyone.
So now lack of providing care. By the way, these are the fucking meme arguments that conservatives used to say that like liberals believed in, like, oh, you're not entitled to somebody else's care, or it doesn't count as killing somebody just because you're like, liberals never made these arguments. They're not real arguments. These are strawman arguments. But now these guys are actually making the argument that like, if you're not given the maximum amount of care or something, that counts as like violence. The healthcare industry is inflicting violence upon you by not providing everything for, like, this is like such a stupid take on so many different levels.
Like, even when Charlie Kirk was murdered, that like I kept seeing reactions online, like leftists are celebrating. And I was like, all my friends were just like, yikes, this is going to get so bad, you know?
Bullshit. I don't believe it. I bet she celebrated.
Yeah.
And I don't think we've turned into a culture where murder is sanctioned. I think that we have turned.
Like, I'm sorry. Hold on. This is actually such fucking bullshit. She's celebrating the random murder of a random healthcare exec, but Charlie Kirk was to be revered? Why? Because it's closer to your profession? Like, the random healthcare exec was doing more damage to society than fucking Charlie Kirk? How fucking crazy, out of touch, how remotely, like, on what planet do you exist in where you could somehow justify this opinion?
Into a culture where private healthcare is so profoundly immoral that people had a very particular reaction to Brian Thompson's murder, right? Like, I don't actually think.
So if you die with $1 million in debt and you're leaving your house or whatever money or things you have, can't they just force all those assets to be sold and take all the money until either the assets are gone or the debt is paid for? Yes, for your estate. Yes, you can, depending on what kind of debt it is, a debtor can go, or a creditor can go after the estate for money, but you can't go after children for money that your parents owe. You should know this because a lot of debt collectors will lie to you about this, and they'll call and they'll try to get you to pay money that your mom or dad might have owed
on some bill or whatever, and they'll try to weasel around it to say that you have to settle the debt or whatever, but you don't. You never have an obligation for that.
Necessarily that we have come to a place where targeted assassination is seen like, you know?
I wonder with something like the murder.
Nah, that's crazy. Destiny defending Charlie Kirk. The end times are here. Okay. That's what you got out of what I just said, then fucking amen to you, brother.
Of a healthcare CEO, is it just a release valve for anger, or is it actually effective political action? Has anything shifted in terms of healthcare in this country because of that?
I felt enormously frustrated.
I can see the argument that the U.S. healthcare system is more systematically and historically destructive than Donald Trump, if that's what she's saying. True, brother. True.
In the weeks following that, that
shifted in terms of healthcare in this country because of that.
I felt enormously frustrated in the weeks following that, that every single, like I assumed, I don't know why I thought that Democrats would immediately take this up as pushing a sort of unified message towards universal healthcare. I don't know why I expected that. I don't know why I was disappointed that it didn't happen.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. Get to the both sides are the same and bad.
Elizabeth Warren did it to her credit.
Sure. But you know what I mean? I thought it would be, I don't know. Yeah. And I don't know why I expected that. But I do not think that it was effective political action. I do think it was an effective act of political consciousness raising.
Wait, what? I don't even know what the fuck. I need to listen again. Sorry.
Enormously frustrated in the
political action. Has anything shifted in terms of healthcare in this country because of that?
I felt enormously frustrated in the weeks following that.
He's filed for a, like, murder, like the murder of a healthcare CEO. Is it just a release valve for anger, or is it actually effective political action? Has anything shifted in terms of healthcare in this country because of that?
I felt enormously frustrated in the weeks following that, that every single, like, I assumed, I don't know why I thought that Democrats would immediately take this up as pushing a sort of unified message towards universal health care.
Who is this person? So that I know to stay as far the fuck away from them as I ever possibly. This person might be worse than Hassan, intellectually and morally. She was expecting Democrats to seize upon the assassination of a random healthcare exec to push healthcare change? Are you fucking crazy? Talk about justifying the murder of a person in cold blood. What are you talking about? What a crazy fucking statement. I can't believe the Democrats were like, guys, look, he killed the healthcare exec. We need to do something about healthcare right now. Let's go. Holy shit.
I don't know why I expected that. I don't know why I was disappointed that it didn't happen.
Elizabeth Warren did it to her credit.
Sure. But you know what I mean? I thought it would be, I don't know. Yeah. And I don't know why I expected that. But I do not think that it was effective political action. I do think it was an effective act of political consciousness raising. But I don't think that's action at all.
Because nobody knew that they had feelings about healthcare until he fucking shot that dude in the back of the head. Oh, my God.
I do think it was served up for someone to just spike that ball over the other side. And that did not happen at all. But I think, I find that kind of one of the most egregious missed opportunities.
It's just such a disgusting, despicable, indefensible position. These people need to fucking, I can't even say it. Are we serious? This might be the worst, like, elitist opinion, out of touch, like, privileged, spoiled, never done anything in their fucking life worth anything to, like, I can't believe we didn't seize the opportunity when this random schizo, handsome dipshit murdered this fucking CEO to get some real goddamn change in this country, like the...
that we have seen in recent political history.
What a wasted opportunity.
I go back and forth on this. Do I think that Democrats are failing? Are they feckless because they're just bad at politics? Or is it something more indecent? And that they're...
I'm so retarded. I thought he was going to say, is it just that Democrats are failing? Or is it because the Republicans are just so good at messaging that they control? But it's not. It's actually that Democrats aren't failing. They're intentionally stymieing progress because they're part of the duopoly.
Because they're just bad at politics, or is it something more indecent, and that their fecklessness
is by design,
is simply cover
for
their ulterior motives, which is participating in this grand design. They're funded by the same corporate lobbyists that Republicans are funded by, especially when it comes to private healthcare providers, and they have a vested interest in the continuation of private healthcare. There is consensus in American politics when it comes to the continuation of the private healthcare system. that the system must be private. This also touches on something that I wanted to address that you said. You were saying that, like, Americans are not used to murder, right? Like, Americans are not on board with murder. I kind of wanted to push back on that at the moment because
we're on board when it comes to murdering brown people and Palestinians.
I do think we are a profoundly violent culture. In some ways, Charlie Kirk's assassination was not unique. School shootings are happening all the time. And we have actually decided almost collectively that it's just another byproduct of American existence.
I mean, I know part of the issue is that Americans have lost a lot of trust in their government. I have this other statistic here that in 1964, 77% of Americans trusted the government. In 2025, 17% of Americans trust the government. And yet it feels like
the Jaw Girl was the former deputy editor for Jezebel.
There's some political action that feels hopeful, like Mamdani's policies for New York. Is this kind of change achievable through the mechanism?
Will Hassan bring up that he's spoken to Mamdani recently, that he talks to him all the time about these issues?
Of politics. Does it line up with Mamdani's politics?
Absolutely. I think that this global design of capital that we have seems like a behemoth that is impossible to defeat. And that obviously discourages a lot of people from taking action. One of the immediate reflections is the fact that we don't really have a democratic process any longer, and people don't even have that confidence in the democratic process because the wishes of the masses are rarely ever represented by our elected representatives. There are many different instances where this has become reality. There was an election cycle that just took place only 2 years ago, where there was a genocide that was happening alongside that. And that was the perfect opportunity to show Americans that your voices do matter, right? And yet the Democratic Party chose not to lean into that real mobilization. 3,500 college campus protesters were arrested in the process. And now we write think pieces about why there aren't any college campus protesters. Where are the anti-war protesters over and over again? Well, it's like, we did it. The government succeeded.
What?
In undermining your voices do matter, right? And yet the Democratic Party chose not to lean into that real mobilization. 3,500 college campus protesters were arrested in the process. And now we write think pieces about why there aren't any college campus protesters. Where are the anti-war protesters over and over again? Well, it's like, we did it. The government succeeded in undermining people's right to protest and the confidence that they have by refusing to listen to their demands. So they succeeded in that.
The Democrats lost the election and you guys were only protesting them. Why not protest the main government to get them to listen to your demands? Are you saying they arrested all the protesters? Do we only you're protesting to stop a genocide and you stop protesting when you get arrested?
Guard. However, while this system of global capital seems like a giant that is impossible to tackle, it's also very fragile.
Part of this, too, is like part of the way that this feels weighted on both sides to me is that if the material conditions of material an average person's life are ameliorated by a wages.
Oh, my God, bro. Oh, my God. Kill me. Oh, sorry, Jesus. All the Marxist buzzwords.
Part of the way that this feels weighted on both sides to me is that if the material conditions of an average person's life are ameliorated by a redistribution of wealth, then the conditions become more possible to take time and take risks and organize, right? Like, I think one of the reasons, obviously, that these things that people don't have time to attend multiple weekday meetings, weeknight meetings, you know, organizing something in their community is because they have to work too long. They have to pick up their kids. They pay so much for childcare. There's no margin for anything. And I think, you know, when you're talking about Mamdani, when there is a political program that is about improving about giving people margin for individual pro-social, you know, civic action, then, like, you know, a whole realm of possibilities and energy and ability and interest will begin to regrow that won't be redirected into, like, okay, here's my 7 minutes of downtime.
Yeah.
I'm going to use it scrolling or whatever, you know, not that I would know anything about that myself.
And, not that any of us have used our 7 minutes of downtime to scroll.
And the thing with Zoran is that he does instill confidence in governance all of a sudden, because people for the first time ever see someone actually making that positive change, and it brings more confidence, and it creates an environment where people can demand more Zorons. That's why I always say I want to let 1,000 Zorons bloom all around the country. You know, there are people like Zoran out there. They're and they're just waiting to be elected and waiting to come into a position of power and show the rest of the country that, no, you can actually do things. You can do good governance.
Yeah, I love that. So a lot of what we've been talking about is taking what little power we have and trying to make it bigger, trying to take back some of the power for ourselves. And so I just wanted to end by asking you, what's one thing that you think should be okay, but currently isn't okay?
I mean, IP theft, stealing movies, things like that.
Okay.
One thing that should be legal that isn't. It's interesting because I have to regularly explain this stuff to a small child, which is, and have so thoroughly explained to her that some things are against the rules, but they're okay. And depending on who you are, and some things are not against the rules, but they're not okay. Like there are so many perfectly legal things I do regularly that I find mildly immoral, right? Like getting iced coffee in a plastic cup. Like I find that to be a profoundly selfish.
I can't, bro. I can't.
Immoral, collectively destructive action. You know, I think a lot of like taken so many planes for so many pleasure reasons for no, you know, I have acted in so many selfish ways that are not only legal, but they're sanctioned and they're unbelievably valorized culturally. And
unbelievable.
And I think, yeah, I guess I don't really think of any laws. Yeah, maybe like things like blowing up a pipeline. Let's say that.
I really relate to what you were saying, Gia, of like it is so hard to live ethically in an unethical society. And also there are so many moral compromises I make every day.
I do so many immoral things.
I am constantly acting in ways that don't align with my belief system and constantly having to justify that from ordering in food when it's raining out. Like there are just like so many moments when I'm like, my comfort is more important than someone bringing me food through the rain. And it doesn't feel good, but it is part of living. I mean, no one's making me do that, but it is part of the way in which we live.
What is this? Woke people on social media.
Oh, absolutely. And I do believe there is something to be said about this sort of, how do I put this? Willing ignorance, right? This sort of duality between that consciousness of being aware in such manner and yet readily marginalizing that intersectionality. It's very profound. These conversations are intrinsically multifaceted, right? There are different angles to be looking at this from, and it's crucial to juxtapose that contrast within those realms of varying perspectives. And it's sort of the case where, you know, are we asking ourselves the right questions, or are we all just sort of victim to the cause itself? It's suffocating, to be quite frank. It's paralyzing. But having these conversations is extremely, extremely vital in fundamental change, and being able to sort of step back and look at this from a bird's eye view and not just a worm's eye view. And that, of course, begs the ever aching question of whose bird is this, right?
Who is this guy? How did he do that? Wait, what? That was perfect.
In our society.
And it's so incentivized. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like splashed all over the subway ads. It's just like, ladies, be selfish tonight, you know? Like, it's wild. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What is one thing that shouldn't be okay, but currently is?
Supporting the genocide? Talking to anybody who's Jewish? I mean, Israeli?
So many.
Something about capitalism or corporate owners or?
Many things. extraction of surplus labor value.
Oh, all of capitalism. Notice how instead of like an actual actionable policy, it's just the abolition of capitalism. God, that's so freaking epic, dude. That was so freaking epic. Oh my, that was so freaking epic, man. My God.
So many things. Extraction of surplus labor value.
Great, you went really silly with it. I appreciate it.
Exploitation.
Yeah, anything above Mao. I think New York should charge people to park on the street, which, I mean, I park on the street, but I think that's just a huge, that's an access to a large amount of public money that we should be taking.
Like everyone who does street,
you're
going to
get assassinated.
I know, but I think it's true.
Someone's going to fight you.
I think it's true. I also think private schools should be mostly illegal.
Oh, I agree with that. That's a good one. Yes.
You are going to piss off all the drivers of New York City.
I know.
Driving
their kids to private school. Yeah, it's a huge problem. Yeah.
Okay, so because we have talked about so many different things, let's give like sort of a smash or pass, yes or no style summary. Steal from Whole Foods?
Sure.
The summary, okay.
Burn down your employer's warehouse?
No. My lawyers are telling me to answer in the negative.
That was freaking epic.
Murder the CEO of a healthcare company?
Also no.
No.
So. They have to really think about that one. But if it was like murder somebody who's pro-Zionist, I wonder what they'd say.
We have a yes on steal from Whole Foods, micro-looting.
But the real yes is get a job there, spend 3 years being a SALT and organize the union.
Which I think is a true better answer than justify your wheel of brie for yourself.
But that's fine too.
Gia, Hassan, thank you so much for being here. This has been such an interesting conversation. It's been a real pleasure to talk with you both.
Thank you, Nadia.
Thank you for having me.
Holy fucking AIDS cancer. Jesus Christ.
Near the port, oil skimmers are now trying to curb it. A while ago, the so-called oil rain was spotted in residential areas near the refinery.
You, Dan, and me need to record a podcast. We need to recreate that room that Hassan and the two women were in. And we should make it about the topic of micro consent.
Let's go.
Let's go. Yeah. Let's go.
All right. Yeah, we can do that. I watched that video, by the way. It fucking nuts. Yeah.
For a mainstream, that's like a thing where if you'd see it on YouTube, you'd be like, wow, that's kind
that's
of
a weird vision. Like
for the New York Times, for them to be like, so when that one guy murdered the dude in cold blood, it's kind of crazy that the Democrats didn't try to like pass the fucking big dick Luigi Mangione bill. Isn't that
weird? Why did this push political agenda? You know, like,
oh,
what?
My God. It was insane. That was an insane, that was just an insane podcast.
Yeah, and it was all done so, like, casually.
Like, normally. Like, if somebody were to show you that, and they were to say, like, this is one of the largest media publications in this country, what would you guess is, like, the state of that country? What are the country's, like, average politics? Like, it must be, like, fucking in, like, decline or failure if things are like that. Fuck. I don't know. That's just crazy.
I don't know. I'm going to send an email saying I'm canceling, because I think that we should, I think sometimes lefties / right wingers do this a lot, where they like are very adamant and forward with like this, making it like a huge thing. I think we need to, but
it's kind of, this is actually really wild to me. I would consider this a business failure. I don't know what the excuse would be, but when I cancel my New York Times thing, they don't actually ask you like for real like, why are you canceling? Like,
really? I did in mine.
There's a screen that comes up, but the questions they're asking are a little bit more it was like, are you getting things that you didn't sign up for? Or like, it was more like general. Like, I didn't see an easy option, at least, where it's like, was there a specific story or thing that got you or whatever? Did yours have that?
So mine had two things. Mine had like, would you like to call and talk to a representative about why you're canceling?
But I'm never doing that. Jesus Christ.
And then there was a second one where I think you could put like your own reasoning of why you're canceling. And then I put it in there.
Do you have to click like an other box to get to that?
Yeah, probably.
That's just crazy to me. Like, I feel like they would track that way more carefully.
Yeah, agreed. I was on the annual plan. Yeah.
Also, it's all like, it's so funny because all of it is just the most bougie. It's all like such a satirical, ironic. Like if Sam Hyde were making a skit about this like 10 years ago, it would be about shoplifting from Whole Foods.
Yes.
Like, that's just the, it's just the funniest fucking thing in the world. Oh my God.
I made a joke. Do you think that they had to carefully consider what jewelry they chose to wear to that interview?
The lady/Hassan.
Yeah.
Well, Hassan will always just wear the most expensive shit he has because he's a fucking loser. Although he might have gotten a stylist recently because he doesn't look quite as fucking terrible.
Retarded.
As he used to. Have you seen anything about that girl's background though?
The girl on the right? No, I hadn't yet. Or which one? The one hosting the interview or the one that was
I think the one on the right.
Mm-mm.
Her background is supposedly fucking crazy. I don't know how true this is because I haven't gone on the full character assassination route yet. But apparently,
she's a writer for the New Yorker, I think. Yeah.
Well, I think apparently her parents were involved in like trafficking, like fucking slave labor or something. Did anybody grab the info? It was like, it looked insane.
No, I haven't looked her up at all.
He was wearing Cartier glasses and the Ralph Lauren shirt. The glasses are like $1,400, right?
Yeah.
Am I crazy? Or are Ralph Lauren shirts, do they have really expensive stuff?
Because Ralph Lauren can be really expensive, like, or you can go buy it at like Macy's.
Yeah, because I feel like I've bought those shirts for like $50-$60.
Yeah, right? I wasn't going to shit on him about the shirt. That was the lady who talked about bombing pipelines.
Yeah, gee. I don't know if Ralph Lauren has like a mega expensive brand or something.
Yeah, I don't know. Very disappointed in the New York Times. I'm going to reach out to them. I'm going to make it a bigger deal. And I suggest that if you are affected by the article and you cancel your subscription, that you should also send an email or at least give them a phone call, etc. I think that's the only way to like actually implement change is doing a bit of hard work ourselves. So